Praise the Lord. Good to be here this morning, or this afternoon, rather. Appreciate the opportunity to try to share a little bit of God's Word with you. Enjoyed the service last night and today. And appreciate Brother Horton, his great ministry in this church. It's a real privilege to stand where so many great men have stood through the years, like Brother Horton and men like that. We love him, and he's preached quite a few times for us, and our people just love him. We had this last year at the camp meeting, we had several folks from over in Hawaii in the church at Oahu that came. They love Brother Ralph Horton. And I think one of them made him nervous, so this year. He said, I love Brother Horton. He said, I'd like to just pick him up and squeeze him. He said, I'd like to just take off running around the church with him. Sister Horton asked my wife, said, he wasn't serious, was he? I said, I don't know. He might have been. Amen. But anyway, we appreciate being with you. Brother Horton said, take your time. Don't worry about the time. I told him, and we'll read after this, but so I could do like Brother Collins did for us one year. We was going to have him preach a day service. We didn't have a scheduled day speaker, but we had three men lined up. Church went from like 10 to 12:30. So Brother Collins was first. And as he walked up to the platform, he looked around, and he said, what time's dinner? And they said, about 12:30. So he sung three songs, and he preached about an hour and 30 minutes. And about 12, he looked over, he said, I tried, I just couldn't make it. He thought he had to go all the way to 12:30. Amen. And I will tell you this, we had another preacher, and I am not going to tell you who it was, but we had another preacher preached a year or two after that, or three or four, or something like that after that. And I mean, he preached, and then he preached, and then he preached. So my wife, Brother Collins, come walking out to get a drink of water or something, and she's wanting to know how close he was to being done because of having dinner. And she said, Brother Collins said, is he about done yet? He said, Sister Miller, he's been done for an hour. He just don't know it. So I sure don't want to be like that. I don't want everybody else to know I'm done and me not know I'm done. Hallelujah. All right, if you want to read with us this afternoon, we're going to look at the Word of God in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6. In verse 11, that verse said, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for our recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Then he said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse number 17 says, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What I'd like to preach about just a few minutes here today, I just want to preach on those words there where he says, come out. And I want to preach on being called out. The word of God here is telling, he's talking to the Corinthians, and he asked them, he said, I want you to come out. I want you to be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And then he said, I will receive you. I believe we should separate ourselves from all unholy compromise, from false teachers, from any form of idolatry or idol worship, any demigods, anything that's unlike God. We ought to totally separate ourselves. But I do believe our attitude for separation should not be to prove how holy that we are, because we know there's none that's holy, only Him. But I do believe we should desire, not only because the Word says so, but to try to show a lost and a dying world how holy the God is that we serve. The Bible said, be holy, for I am holy. I believe we ought to love sinners, but I believe we ought to hate sin. I don't believe that you can be a child of God and flirt with sin, commit sin, or even have just have reservations for those who do commit sin. I do love sinners, but I don't love sin. I believe we must serve God with an undivided heart. You cannot serve two masters. The Bible said you'll love the one and you'll hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon or money. You cannot serve two masters. Amen. You have to serve God completely, 100%. It's always been God's desire that His people be close to Him and separate themselves to Him. God does not want to share us with anybody. Amen. Me and my wife, now we've been married a long time. Of course, we got married young, but October we'll be married 44 years. That's a while. Amen. But you know what? When we got married, I didn't want her to look at any other man, to wink at any other man. And if she smiled, I didn't want her to smile a long time at any other man. Praise God. That's my wife. And that's how I feel about it. I don't believe God wants us to serve Him on Sunday and to be doing everything else before Wednesday night prayer meeting comes around. Somebody say amen. Come on, help me here today. The Bible said in 1 Peter, if I can find it here, we'll preach in a minute if the Lord will help us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, everybody knows this verse. He said, you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation and a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him that hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a good verse. And really, this was a quote that the Bible is using from the Old Testament. If you look at the book of Exodus, I believe it's chapter number 19 and verse number 3. The Bible said Moses went out up unto God and he began to call unto God out of the mountain. And he said, thus shall thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. When God began to speak to Moses, he told him these things. In verse 4, he said, you've seen what I did unto the Egyptians. You saw what happened to them. He began to remind him. Then he told him how, and you saw how I bore you on eagle's wings, how I brought you unto myself. And part of that verse, God said, not only did I destroy your oppressors, not only did I destroy your enemies, and not only did I carry you on eagle's wings, but I done it so I could bring you to myself. God said, I want that closeness between me and you. I believe God wants His people to be close to Him. Can somebody say amen? God wants us to be close to Him. He said, I brought you unto myself. Then He said in verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed. This is one of the first things. We must be obedient to what God said. He said, and keep my covenant. Praise God. Obedience, keeping the word of God, doing what we know that the word of God has told us to do. He said, if you do these things, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. Amen. Because all the earth is mine. He said, the whole earth is mine. Everybody that lives in the earth is mine. Everybody, the Bible said, in Him we live, move, have our being. Anybody that's on this earth, no matter if they're living an ungodly life, if they're in a bar room somewhere, no matter what they're doing, brother, their breath is in the hand of God, whether they're saved or not. Isn't that right? They're in the hand of God. But He said, you, I want you to be my people. Amen. I will let you be cause you to be a peculiar treasure. This is what in the book of Peter that I read to you, this is what he was quoting. He was quoting Exodus. He goes on to say, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. You'll be a holy nation to me. These are the words that thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. God began to tell him. He said, I want you to tell my people these things. Tell them these things. And the Bible said that Moses called for the elders, and he laid before their faces all of these words that the Lord had commanded him. And the Bible said the people answered and said, the Lord has spoken, and that's what we will do. You know, when Brother Horton gets up here, now we're in camp meeting, there's a mixed multitude here, preachers from all over, visitors from all over. But when it's just you, Brother Horton stands up, and he preaches what God has given him to tell this church, or any of you other pastors, I pastor myself, you stand up and you preach the word of God and say, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Bible said. This is what God's word said. And when we do that, and people will say, that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow. We're going to obey God. We're going to do exactly what you say. But how long does it last? A lot of times that we're going to do that, brother. We heard you. Amen. Good preaching. Boy, that was the truth this morning. But it's not very long until they're not doing anything that what the Word of God said. They said, we heard what the Lord said, and that will we do. And the Bible said that all the people answered. They all said they would do it. Then Moses returned with the words of the people to the Lord. Moses goes back and says, all right, God, they heard what you told me. I told them what you said. And they said, everybody's on board. Everybody's going to do it. They're all going to do exactly what you've commanded us to do. Then the Bible said, he told him, he said, that if they will, he said, I'm going to come down on a thick cloud. Amen. And the Bible said he told them, go tell the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, saith the Lord, I will come down the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. God said, do these things. Do the words as I've said for them to do. And they said, yes, we will. He said, all right, if they do that, and if they sanctify themselves, tell them to get ready. Amen. If they really sanctify themselves, and if they really separate themselves, then be ready on the third day. In other words, if they do what I said, It won't be long till I come down, until I bless them. Church, honestly, the preacher's not preaching and telling us you can or you can't necessarily because that's what he wants to preach or what he wants to say. He's preaching what the Word of God says. Amen. And you can say like that one woman said to me a few years ago, I preached a scripture also in Corinthians, but it was 1 Corinthians. And somewhere around the 11th chapter, you can decide what it was. It's really only two things in the 11th chapter. It talks about communion and hair. I wasn't talking about communion. And I was preaching that night, and there was a lady I knew. She was upset. She was standing back by the back door, pacing back and forth. So I'd done, like some preachers, I stayed around front long as I could because I let some of the steam blow off. I knew she was mad. So it wasn't, none of the steam was leaving. She was getting madder. So finally I said, I'm going to have to face her anyway. So I walked back to the back and she said, I don't believe one word of that. I said, would you if I could show you in the Bible? She said, I'd like for you to show me. You know, to me, that is such a simple thing, such an obvious thing, easy to prove. So I just showed her the scripture, talked with her real kind, very nice, wasn't a bit rude. And I thought, she's really taking this. She just looked at me. She wasn't making any faces. When I got done, I thought, boy, I've convinced this lady. And I said, well, what do you think? She said, well, it looks like that's what it says. Look like that's what it means. She said, I don't care what it says or what it means. I'm going to cut my hair anyway. She said, just stomped out, walked outside. That's been several years. She don't come regular anymore, but she still comes about once a month. That's regular to some church members. But anyway, she come in about 2 months ago. Evidently, she still don't believe a word I said. It's pretty obvious. And, you know, and I know she thinks that I was just trying to be rough with her. Has nothing to do with it. Some folks wonder why they're not being blessed. Some folks wonder why the Spirit of the Lord's not moving in their services. Now, I do know there's a lot of our churches, they've got an imitation of the real thing. Some of them's up dancing around, you know, and jumping around. And I don't know, to some people, they're fooled. It kind of looks like the real thing. We know what the real move of the Spirit is, don't we? We know what the real power of God is, what the real Holy Ghost is. But some people wonder, why is the Lord not blessing our church? We're not separated unto Him. We're just not. We want God, but we want the flesh. We want God, and yes, we want the world too. We want everything. We want to be saved. We want to go to church, but we want to do all these other things. You can't have it both ways. Amen. You can't serve two masters. You've either got to come out and be separate to Him if you really want the blessing of God in your life. Anybody say amen here today? God said, if you'll do these things, you'll be a peculiar treasure. I'll bless you. And if you cleanse yourself, wash your clothes, sanctify yourself, He said, on the third day, I'll come down and I'll bless you. I don't know, preachers, but I feel like if we could just go to get our folks really back to a close walk with God, really back to where they ought to be with God, I believe we could have revival. I believe we could have a move of the Spirit if we do that. Now, this is before my day. I only heard them talk about it long before me. But they said the church I pastor back in the late 30s, early 40s, had a 7-year revival. Every night. I can't hardly have a 7-day revival. I just can't. I try. But that's what they told me. I asked some of them old timers. I talked to one of them Sunday night. And I said, was you here? They said, yeah. We was young, but we was here. I said, man, Who all preached? They said everybody. Said every evangelist in the country come by. They preached till they couldn't preach some more and they'd get another one. Then there's some weeks they didn't even have an evangelist. They just had prayer meeting. But it went 7 years every single night. Could you imagine that? Hallelujah. A lot of times anymore it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Wednesday to Friday, or Monday to Wednesday, trying to have revival. I've even had them tell me in my own church, I don't have to pick on you. We'd have revival and they say, hey brother, we're going to try to be there Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And they think they're doing a great thing because they let me know they'd be there them 3 nights to revival. I think it's all because we're just not separated to Him. We haven't really sold out to God. Made up our mind that we want to serve Him with all of our heart. Somebody help me here today. Hallelujah. He said, get ready, because on the third day, He said, I'll come down. I think we could have a move of God, church. I really do. If we just separate ourselves to Him. I want more of the Lord, don't you? I really do. Praise God. And I'm talking about being called out or separated here today. I was looking at chapter 12, the book of Genesis. Everybody knows that story where the Lord came and said to Abraham, get thee up from thy kindred, your family. And He called him out to go and to seek for a city whose builder and maker is God. We know that story. But I was looking at the chapter just before that in Genesis 11 and verse 31. You know, God spoke to His father before He did him. A lot of you know that. But God spoke to Terah, if I'm saying the name right. The Bible said in verse 31, Genesis 11, God spoke to him and He took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and Abram's wife. And the Bible said they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to the land of Haran and they dwelt there. Here's what I want to show you. You know, we all talk about Abraham. God called him out. God called him to be separate. But actually, He spoke to his father 25 years before He ever spoke to him. God said, I want to call you out. I want you to come. Separate yourself to me. Amen. And He did start, but along the way He stopped. He went as far as Haran, and there He stayed for right at 25 years. And you know what the Bible said He did? He died there. There's a lot of folks start out. They want to serve God as far as a separated life, a holiness life. They'll start out and they'll go so far, but that's as far as they go. Amen. They only go to a certain point. He died there. That was Abram's father. Abram's father, I read that he was thought to have been an idol worshiper. And some scholars say it actually slowed down Abraham's progress 25 years. Think about that. He could have been in the will of God 25 years longer if it hadn't been for his father, only went to a point and then stopped. I want to ask you today, have you made up your mind to go all the way with Jesus? Are you just going to go so far and quit? Are you going to go so far and then stop? I want to go with Him all the way. I'm glad I started serving the Lord when I was just a young guy. I started praying when I was 14. I was like a lot of kids till I was 16, kind of up and down. I hit the rock when I was 16 years old. Started preaching right before I was 18. Went full time when I was not quite 20. And that's all I've done for over 40 years. I don't regret one day. But you know what? It has been a continual process even in my life. I even had my own natural brother get mad at me over one certain issue that I don't have time to talk about. But he told me, he said, you preach against that all the time. He said, we wasn't raised like that. Mom, Dad never raised us like that. You even used to not believe like that. But I said, I know that. But I'm trying my best to get closer to the Lord. Amen. Don't you think, folks, that as we go on and live for God, that we should be trying to get closer to God? Can anybody help me here today? Or you want to just go to Haran and stop? Or do you want to go on with the Lord? Hallelujah. When I first started preaching, there were some things maybe that I didn't fully understand. I remember first time I ever went to Allentown camp meeting was 1974. Brother Ely was not my pastor, but he took a big bunch of his boys. And he called me up and said, you want to go? And I followed him down. We went that year to Allentown. I believe George Allen was the pastor then, in 1974. I remember back then I had long sideburns. Carl Page come up to me. He said, boy, I'd sure like to let you preach. But he didn't call them sideburns. He called them burn sides. He said, I can't let you preach because you got them old long burn sides. And I remember I went in there because I didn't have a pastor there. We had a pastor about half the time. I was kind of jerked up by the hair of the head. And so I asked Brother Ely, I said, that guy right there said, my sideburns is too long. I said, what do you think I ought to do? He said, honey, I believe I'd cut them off. So I went in. Do you remember the old building the way it was? You come out and the bathroom was right there before you come out. So I cut them halfway off. Even then, I didn't want to go all the way. I come back. I said, how do I look? He said, honey, I think I'd cut them a little more. So I went in and I really cut them off. I come out. He said, well, you didn't have to do all that, but it's all right. I didn't look too good. I had them rascals shaved way up in here, above my ear. And Brother Page still didn't have me for revival. But anyway, I was only 22 back then. That was a long time ago. But you know, even then, I wanted to move closer to the Lord. I'm going to try to preach. I just want to talk to you here just a minute. I remember, you know, a lot of you know, Brother Horton knows, the Lord spoke to my son-in-law, and he's been doing a lot of work over in the Hawaiian Islands. And I've been going with him now for like 5 years and preaching in their camp meeting every year. And really love them. Good people. You just have to know them. Brother Horton will tell you, they're just good people. And they're moving so much closer our way. I'm talking about holiness standards. First went over, I was like, good Lord. You know, I was just shocked at dress and jewelry. I had enough jewelry, man, they could sell it and buy a pretty good used car. I mean, it's terrible, you know. I loved them. We preached for them. But I remember we told them about our camp meeting, and this has been about 3 years ago. So they said, we want to come to y'all's meeting. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'd love for you to come. I'll treat you like a baby. Come right on over. We'll feed you. You'll hear some of the best singing and preaching you ever heard. But I said, I can't use you. We was in their little office there. Dave, you know what I'm talking about. You went with us this year. And he said, well, okay. I said, there's some things. And they said, well, just tell us what it is. So I was really nice. I told him, I said, well, in March of 1973, I was preaching Benny Grizzle Revival at the Flatwoods Church. And my wife at that time had a wedding band. And anyway, Brother Grizzle asked me, he said, is this okay if I preach like this? Anyway, he said, do you believe in jewelry? I said, no. Any kind of jewelry? I said, no kind. He said, how come your wife's got a wedding band on? I said, ain't jewelry, is it? He said, what is it? I said, what should I do? He said, I think she ought to take it off. So I went and told my wife. There was no fuss. There was no quarreling. No fight. She took it off. And that has been 40 years in April, May, June, July, August. 40 years and 5 months ago. No problem. So I told them that story. I said, you know what I did? I said, First preacher mentioned it to us. We got rid of it. And I said, you know what? If you really want to do something for God, you need to separate yourself and get closer. So they started asking me questions about a lot of things, everything I wouldn't mention to you here. But we started talking about a lot, and they said, all right, all right, all right. And they just cold turkey everything. You know, not the whole church, but all those preachers and about 25 of them. Just, we won't no more, and they haven't no more. In like 3 years, I'll tell you what, somebody asked me, said, man, said, them Hawaiians, is that all they do, shout? I mean, you remember Tui? The guy shouted, he shouted, you talk about, they was talking about that brother running this morning. Tui runs from the time you start church to the time it's over. I mean, he'll get up and he'll run around, he'll come back and sit down, they'll say 5 words, whoop, he'll jump back up, and he's a Tongan brother, and he runs all of the time. Shouting and praising God and running and dancing and getting happy. Well, this year we had 21 of them come over. I asked Elder Wayne, I said, Elder Wayne, now you know what I told you all. He said, don't worry, preacher. Ain't a one of them going to do nothing like that. He said, this group has really done better. He said, we're working on the rest of them. I said, okay. I mean, look good, done good. But Brother Shoecraft and Brother Horton preached our camp meeting, and they will again next year, Lord willing. But anyhow, Brother Shoecraft, I can't remember his title, but when he was preaching, he took his coat off. You remember that night? And he laid it down. He said, sometimes, he said, not only do we quit sin, but we just got to lay it down and leave it. And he went ahead and preached and left it over there. He said, just leave it there. Anyhow, that night, Tui, now his wife, she had kept this one bracelet because somebody gave it to her, and it cost $15,000. That's what they told me. That's a lot of money, eh? Anyway, he went over to her one night after Lloyd. Well, when Lloyd got done preaching, Brother Lloyd got done preaching, and he goes, Charmaine, his name is Tui Faliofa. Her name is Charmaine. He said, Charmaine, what are you going to do? She said, what are you talking about? I said, what are you going to do about that bracelet? She said, I guess I'm going to lay it down. I said, but I want to know what you're going to do. She said, what do you mean? He said, you're going to throw it away? She said, no, I ain't going that far. I'm going to sell it as soon as I get home. I called him up. She sold it. She didn't quite get $15,000, but she sold it. As soon as she got home. Hallelujah. We're supposed to go back over next month. I said, we can't keep coming back over that often. And they, on the way down here, I got a text and they said, please come over. We need moral support and we need support. Said, we're trying to hold up a standard. That was what they said. We're trying to preach holiness and we need help. So I told Diane, I said, well, I don't care to go once a year in March. It's kind of expensive and hard to go 2 or 3 times a year. But I'm going to climb on that dreadful plane and go back and try to help them. That same night, I'm trying to hurry. Brother Horton told me to take all time I want. He shouldn't have done that. But anyway, that same night, they had a son. His name is Samson. There's a reason, too, if you've seen how strong he was. Samson Faliofa. He's got a brother named Pia. Pia is playing college football for, it's either UCLA or USC right now. And several pro teams have contacted him for next year's draft. And that's over there, a lot of them use that as their way off of what they call the rock, their way out. That one little high school has 7 players in the NFL right now. 3 or 4 of them's out of that church right now. Well, Samson is getting ready to go to college next year, and all kinds of colleges have been recruiting him, wanting him to play football for them. I mean, they had a lot of stars. Now, I don't know these guys other than they told me their names. They said they're very famous. One's name is Christian Mahafatu. One is Troy Polamalu. Out of that church. And a lot of those big-time pro players right there, out of there. Well, Samson, that night, same night that Brother Shoecraft preached that message, he prayed through. I don't know if you can remember, Brother Horton, he got the Holy Ghost that night. I mean, they cried, they prayed. He got the Holy Ghost that night, and he went back home. And about a week later, I got a phone call from Elder Wayne. He was half laughing and half crying. He said, "Oh, we had an interesting service this weekend." I said, "What happened?" He said, "You remember Samson getting the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man," he said, "I wondered if he'd stay true when he got home." He said, "That boy's crying and praying. He's at church early and staying late." He said, "He's been playing the drums so loud he's about to kill them all." He said, "I'm telling you, boy, he's on fire for God." He said, "But when he got up and testified Sunday," he said, I about fell off of my pew. I said, "What did he say?" He said, "He got up and said, 'I know the announcement I'm fixing to make is going to make part of you angry, and some of you won't understand it.' He said, 'But ever since I heard a message in Ohio,'" he said, "'God has dealt with my heart, and I want to get closer to God.'" He said, "So I'm making it public today." He said, "I am not playing football this year. I am not going to college to play football. And you may not even like this school, but I'm going to tell you what he said." He said, "He don't even know nothing about them. They just had a little old thing up there in the back of the church." He said, "I'm going to OBI, Bible school, as soon as I get out." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Some of them's jaw looked like it fell a foot." He said, "They told him," he said, "Samson, you'll get a $2 million signing bonus. What are you thinking?" He said, I wouldn't trade what I felt," he said, "for $2 million. Woo! Listen, what I'm telling you, if we'll separate ourselves to God, Moses said, sanctify yourselves, clean yourselves the first day, sanctify yourself the second day, and on the third day I will come down." You say, "Well, God's never done it for me." Sanctify yourself. Pray through. Clean up. I told you a lot of things through the years. I didn't just start out believing exactly like I did, but it didn't take no preacher fighting with me about none of it. I never fought a time. Okay, I need to do that. All right. That's what I'll do. I want my ministry to do good. But more than that, I want to get to heaven, folks. Somebody raise your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. Don't go to Haran and stop. Keep going. They stopped at Haran when Canaan land was just ahead. Just right ahead. They stopped too soon. Woo! A lot of us start out good, but we stop just shy of Canaan. Just shy of the blessings of God. Well, Terah didn't go far enough. But in the very next chapter, we see where God spoke to Abraham. I know he didn't say this, but in my mind, I'm kind of thinking God might have thought, "I tried to get your dad to do this. I dealt with him. But now he said, I'm going to ask you." He said, "Get up from among thy kindred." You say, "My brothers and sisters don't believe it." That don't matter. My wife or husband don't believe it. That don't matter, folks. The people where I live, you might even say my church don't believe it. That don't matter. Pray through and find you a holiness church. Somebody say amen. He spoke to him. He said, "Get up from thy kindred. Get out from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless thee. Thy name shall be great." But here's what I want you to look at, the latter part of verse 2. He said, "And thou shalt be a blessing." Not only will God bless you, God will let you bless somebody. Hallelujah. Look at all the people that you can be a blessing to if you'll just get close to God. Come closer to Him. Somebody holler amen. I want you to know this, that Abraham's call contain not only promises. I don't have a lot of time to tell you what they were, but it also contained a lot of obligations. Not just promises, but obligations. No wonder he left saying, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know. I'm just looking for a place that God wants me. Hallelujah. So just go for God, church. You may not understand it, just go for God. Hallelujah. I like that one brother got saved a few years ago at our church. Somebody asked him a question about something. I can't remember what the thing was. I just remember his response. His response was about an issue. He said, I don't know if it's right or wrong. Preacher said it. That's what I'm going to do. I like that attitude. Woo! Glory to God. That's the attitude we ought to have. Somebody holler amen. You know what? The Sermon on the Mount. I'm trying to hurry here. In Matthew 5. Oh, that's where I'm talking. It went through about three chapters. But there was a little story there. And it was about the light and the candle and the candlestick. The Bible says, first of all, that we, the church, we're the light of the world. Isn't that right? Then the Bible said this. You're supposed to be a what? A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. The Bible said when you light it, you don't put it under a bushel, right? Even little kids in children's church and Sunday school sings that. When you light that candle, you don't put it under a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick. And the reason the Bible said you do that, so it will give light to the whole house. Put it on a candlestick so it'll give light to the whole house. All I'm saying this morning is, church, let your light shine. Let your light shine. If we're looking like the world, dressing like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, how in the world are we letting our light shine to the world? You can't do it. You can't do it. Praise God. You know what? I just come out of youth camp, so I know this is not really fitting for an adult camp. But I just come out of youth camp last week, and I like a statement I heard. Brother Ben Brock was preaching our nights. He said this. He said, used to, we always said we have a lot to preach about the girls. There's not much you can say about the boys. He said, that's not true anymore. He said, they're all dressing so ungodly. He said, they may be fully covered, but he said, they look just like the world. They got the stamp of the world on them. He said, they're wearing skin-tight, skinny jeans. I make you a promise. I'll never wear a pair of skinny jeans. I'll make you that promise right here publicly. And, you know, one of them even had a scarf on. They made him take it off. Thank God. When they told me he had a scarf on, folks, look, I'm an older man. I thought a scarf's what you put over your head, tied it, and it had a little point in the back. I thought that's why I said, what, a boy with a scarf? They said, yeah. I said, that's horrible. I said, over his head? No, they said around his neck. I said, oh. But they said that they're coming out with this new thing, you know, where they wear that and they put it up over their mouth. I don't know if we're trying to look like Al-Qaeda rejects or like the world. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But I liked it that Brother Ben come down on a lot of that stuff. And he told him, he said, hey, he said, even you young boys in here said trying to look like Hollywood. I like what he actually said. He called them, don't get mad, I hope I don't lose the whole crowd. He said they don't need to look like Hollywood. That's the word he used. Woo! But it's the truth anyway. Somebody say amen. God help us, church. The cry to the church has always been, come out, come up, come here. God has never pushed us away. We have driven ourselves away from God. God has always called the church to come closer to Him. Closer, closer. Church, get closer to God. Sanctify yourself and see if the blessings of God doesn't follow in your life. I just want to ask you this question before I leave this particular part of my message. Isn't it amazing that everybody says, or not everybody, but a lot of folks, says, it don't matter what you look like. Isn't that funny? They say, it don't matter what you look like. then why did Jesus say for us that they may see? If it don't matter what we look like, why did he say that the world may see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven? I think it does matter what we look like. Somebody say amen. Matters what you act like, how you conduct yourself. I don't want to be like a preacher. I was in the same town, Brother Sly, that you live in, about 2 years ago. I was actually in a car with your son-in-law. We was driving, and I don't know if I done something wrong in the car or what, but there's a guy right up against us. I mean, he didn't hit us, but he almost did. He went to screaming. He rolled his window down. He was cursing and giving motions with his hands that Christians shouldn't do. He was screaming, "Get out of the road, you idiots!" And a lot of other words like that. Brother Keith May, his mouth just opened up. He turned white as a sheet. And I said, "Ain't that terrible how folks act?" He goes, "You know who that was?" I said, "No, but I know what got him mad." He told me who it was. I ain't going to tell you. You just have to guess. But anyway, he said, "I can't believe it." He said, "Did you hear them words?" I said, "I heard them." "Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord." I said, "You think he knowed who he was?" He said, "I don't think he knowed who he was." He said, "I wish I never knowed who he was." Ain't that sad, brother? That is sad. You think about that. Here's somebody. Well, I'm going to leave alone who the somebody, but it's terrible. We need to act and look and conduct ourselves like Christians everywhere. Come on, somebody help me here. Let me throw this at you. What's in the world anyway? The Bible said in 1 John 2:15, 16, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." The Bible said if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Y'all know that. What's in there? There's only three things that he mentioned in that place. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. There we are. I only want to hit the middle one. I can't help but tell this story. I like telling this story. I haven't told it in a while. But that lust of the eye, that's a problem that gets us in trouble anyway. Bible talks about it's the light of the body. And if it's single, and you know all about, well, let me go on. Anyway, it talks about the lust of the eye. I think some of us has got some problems with eye problems. My grandson, my oldest grandson, will be 22. Do you know I'm a great-grandpa? I am. My grandson's got about a three-month-old baby. Whew! Great-grandpa. Hard to believe. But anyway, and it's a cute little girl. You ain't never seen a girl that cute. I mean, she's the prettiest. Well, let me go on. But anyway, when Caleb Cornett's who he is, Caleb's about 6'3 and about 300 and plenty. He's a big boy. But when he was a little bitty guy, one day he come running in the room where we was, Brother Thomas, and he was dancing. I wish that I was agile enough to do it. He was dancing straight up and down, screaming and hollering, had both hands over one eye. And he come running in screaming, "It's an eye problem! It's an eye problem! It's an eye problem!" My son-in-law, Doug, he's trying to grab his hands. He wouldn't let him. He'd just get away. And he'd run around in circles. We chased him. There's four or five of us trying to catch him. Running around the table, jumping over the couches, hollering, "It's an eye problem." When we finally got a hold of him, pulled his hand down, he had the pink eye. We they got him some little drops and he got better. But I'll tell you what, that's kind of like our church world today. They know they got an eye problem. They're running around screaming, but they won't let the preacher do nothing for them. You try to run them down, chase them down, and catch them. "Let me look and see what the problem is." "No! I got a problem! I know you got a problem! Let's see what it is! Let's see, it's right here. Here's your problem." Hallelujah. No, they don't. They won't stop long enough for you to do anything even for them. We finally run that boy down, got them drops. He is fine a couple days. The other day he told me, he said, "Papa," or he usually calls me Pappy. He said, "Pappy, I wish you quit telling that story. I was just a little guy. I was a little boy. I said, well, some folks still got eye problem. They still got some problem. Church, we need to come out. We need to come out. I know this is a holiness church. This is a holiness campgrounds, and a camp meeting rather. And I know you've had preachers by the scores that's preached messages like this and a whole lot better and stronger over the years. But I am telling you, folks, if we could just realize that if we draw close to Him and get closer to God, it's not just to prove how strict we can be, how good we can look, but we're trying to get in the presence of God so His Spirit would come down and anoint us again. That's why the anointing's not as powerful as it used to be. That's why not as many miracles as there used to be. Not that they're not happening, but we don't have as many miracles as we did. You know what? We run the doctor way quicker than used to. They run straight to the church first. We don't see as many instant healings as we used to. I've seen numbers of great healing miracles. But I'm telling you, folks, they're not as prevalent as it was. We don't see that simultaneous move of the Spirit near as often as we used to. Because we're not as close to God as we were. We're too wrapped up in at work and at school and just the cares of life that have swept in our life. And God is saying, come out! Separate yourself to me. Come closer to me. I'll sup with you and you with me. I'll be your God and you'll be my son. That's what I think He's looking for today. There's a lot more places I could go to, but for the sake of time, I won't. Hallelujah. We need to come out. We need to come close, and we need to get closer to God. Hallelujah. I think if we did, if we came out, came close, we might hear another cry someday. Like the Bible said in Revelation 4, He heard another cry, and that one was come up. And I'm looking for that. I don't believe you're going to go up until you come out. I believe you got to come out from among the world if you want to hear Him say, come up. Hallelujah. Revelation 4 and verse number 2. Hallelujah. He said, and when I heard Him say, come up, He said, immediately, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Amen. On the Lord's day. I'll tell you this. I had a great mother. Some of you knew her. A lot of you didn't have that privilege. My mother was a mighty woman. For 20 years before she became a real bad diabetic, from Friday night to Monday morning, she never ate a bite, never drank a drop of water or anything. Fasting. I'm telling you, I could not count the times when I was just a young boy. We'd go to church, Brother Vance, and when we walked through the door, before they ever sung a song, I used to get so embarrassed of my mom. I was 10, 12, 13, 14. We'd walk in. My mom would throw her hands in the air, dance down the aisle. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'd look around, oh, God's other kids looking at my mom. But I mean, boy, what a shouter. My mom started testifying. She could testify better than I can preach. I'm telling you, sang. Let me tell you, she could sing. It didn't take her four verses. When she sung about four words, I mean, the power of God fell. But she was a praying woman. I'll tell you how I got saved. Now, Johnny Carter and Harley Hensley was preaching tonight. I got saved. And some of the older ones know both them. They was both preaching on the prodigal son. I remember that. I don't think nobody could preach it like them two. They was preaching good. But you know what really got me saved? I come home from maybe hunting or playing ball, and every time I would, I'd hear my mom, God save my boys. There's four of us boys. None of us saved. Mom cried and prayed, and her words haunted me inside because she was praying. What a great mother I had. What a great mother I had. When my wife got healed of terminal cancer, and a lot of you know that story, they only gave her 3 weeks to live, and that was in January of 1973. You can do the math. A long time ago. But we was there at Christ Hospital. We went in to get something to eat because we hadn't eaten several days. And when we walked into Burger King, my mom, I didn't think she'd surely to God do nothing in a Burger King. She went in and said, "Woo! God just healed my daughter-in-law of cancer. Woo! Hallelujah!" Started speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Went back to the hospital. And she asked that doctor, said, "You think she'll live 5 years?" Doctor said, "Well, something will kill her." Said, "But she'll live 25, 30, 40, I don't know how long." Said, "This ain't gonna never kill her." You know what my mom did? Same thing as Burger King. Took off running in the hospital, dancing, shouting, screaming. You know why? She prayed all the time. She had a big cancer. I'm taking too long, I know. But she had a big old cancer right above her eye. Big old black looking cancer there. And I remember every day Mama would go get the oil. She'd anoint it. And she'd say, "God, if nothing else, for my husband and my children's sake, heal me of this cancer." One day she was walking through the house doing her work at the house. And she reached up with the oil to anoint her eye. And it felt smooth. She went in and looked in the mirror. It was gone. She said, "I don't know if it fell on the floor. If God let it disappear, I don't know what happened." And she said, "I'm afraid that my grandchildren won't believe it." But then we got to look and we had a picture. There was Mom smiling real big, that big old cancer on her eye. Now, she's gone on to heaven. But then later, it was just as smooth as it could be. What causes that? She was a praying woman. A prayer warrior. Oh, glory. I still believe we could have mighty revivals. I still believe we could see miracles. Move of God in our church. But we cannot be wrapped up in the world and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. It cannot happen, church. You want to move of God, get closer to Him. Get away from the world and get closer to Him. How many wants more of Jesus in your heart? Would you just lift your hands all over the house, if you would. And let's give God a praise this morning. Hallelujah.